Thought Leader Thursdays are sponsored by Associated Bank. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing a home, Associated Bank is dedicated to finding the right mortgage solution for you. Visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We're on This Morning with David Fowler, the Senior Vice President of Capital Markets at Associated Bank. David, good morning. Welcome back.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Hope you're doing well. I want to focus our conversation in today on Brexit. You're our Brexit expert, and I want to find out today how the EU Brexit proposal for Northern Ireland is going. And talk to us a little bit about the impact that it's having not only there, but in Britain as well.
Well, I think, you know, the EU, as we know, came back just recently, the last couple of weeks, with some, you know, modifications to the withdrawal agreement that they thought would really ease about 80 to 90% of the issues that businesses are facing in terms of importing from Great Britain into Northern Ireland, and particularly for Northern Ireland businesses that import from Great Britain and their products are consumed within Northern Ireland, so not for further export into the European Union. And, you know, they came back with some ideas on how the paperwork could be reduced by bulking rather than have individual forms. You know, the idea that food products, which was a big kind of bête noire for the last couple of months with the sausage wars and all that, you know, with fresh foods that would be consumed within Northern Ireland really didn't have to meet EU phytosanitary conditions any longer. So a lot of things that the business people in Northern Ireland were asking for. The issue, I think, now is that the government, the British government, is now looking for some concessions in areas that just can't be agreed, particularly the European Court of Justice stuff. You know, that is, like, for people who aren't, you know, avid followers of European law, which I'm sure most people aren't here, in the European Union, European law has supremacy over national laws. And this is the one thing that gives the kind of legal backing to a common market. So common rules, common requirements. And, you know, for the UK to say that Northern Ireland, would the agreement with Northern Ireland, leaving Northern Ireland effectively from a trade point of view into the, in the European Union single market, would no longer have to abide by European law, I think that's going to be a bridge too far.
There is one report where, and it was sort of a serious part of this discussion, where the EU was quoted, someone at the EU was quoted as saying they were thinking about terminating the whole post-Brexit trade deal if Britain further reneges on some of its commitments regarding Northern Ireland. That could blow up the whole thing, couldn't it?
It could. And there is, you know, a certain element of weariness, I think, and you see it, like, even we saw, as you know, I'm just back from Ireland, and, you know, on the news at home, you know, we would see, like, our prime minister or kind of deputy prime minister or minister for foreign affairs, you know, talking about this stuff, and they are kind of coming to the stage where they feel that no matter what the European Union tries to do to kind of modify the agreement, the only agreement that the UK wants is one where there is no agreement, that it's just a free-for-all. And they're not going to agree to that. And I think the more the UK pushes the European Union, the closer other member states get to the stage where they say it's just not worth the effort. And it's important to remember that, you know, about 25% of EU trade goes into the UK, but 50% of UK trade goes into the European Union. So, you know, while the stakes are large, the stakes are larger for the UK.
David, talk to us a little bit about how, you know, all of the world is dealing with supply chain issues. How is Brexit affecting all of that in Britain and Northern Ireland, especially? Are there fuel and food shortages? Is it being made worse by Brexit?
It is to an extent. So certainly what we saw at the end of last year was the removal of the ability for EU nationals to live and work without restrictions in the UK. And a lot of this has impacted on the workforce in many ways. There are a lot of people from the EU, particularly some of the Eastern member states, that worked in service industry jobs, in food production, in haulage, these kind of areas that, you know, no longer can work and live in the UK. And they left. And they left because they couldn't stay. And they left because of Brexit. They left because of COVID. And a lot of truck drivers in particular left because of the way they were treated at the very end, so that suddenly it was virtually impossible for them to leave the UK in December, because a lot of these people wanted to get back for Christmas, because in a lot of European countries, Christmas is the big holiday. It's the one, it's kind of like Thanksgiving here, where families always come together. You know, a lot of these guys felt, you know, having to spend their Christmas in the cab of their truck down in Dover was not the way to say goodbye. So these people have left, they found other jobs, they're not coming back. And in fact, like, the UK issued some emergency visas. I think they issued well over 1,000 for truck drivers. To date, 27 people have applied for those visas. So there is a shortage of truck drivers. There's a shortage of truck drivers here, but it seems to be quite acute in the UK. That has also impacted on fuel delivery. So, you know, we saw on the TV and on the, you know, in the papers and stuff where, you know, there are lines outside of petrol stations, not because there's a shortage of crude oil. It's just the shortage of processed gasoline going from the refinery to the actual pumps. And I think we're going to see that continue. The fact that, you know, free movement of labor has really impacted on this. But also there are other issues in the energy markets that are affecting the UK, just like they're affecting the EU, just like they're affecting the US, where we had, you know, a period of kind of very diminished demand during lockdown. Suddenly, and then when the gates opened, suddenly there was massive kind of pent-up demand that we're seeing. So people here are traveling and stuff like that. We're seeing gasoline usage in particular going through the roof, natural gas usage going through the roof. And we have this kind of mismatch, temporary mismatch, I believe, between demand and supply. They have that in the UK as well. So, and additionally, I think it's important to remember that for European countries, because energy prices are priced in dollars, the fact that the US dollar is quite strong right now means they get a double whammy. So the actual commodity price is going up, and the exchange rate is working against them, making it even more expensive in local currency.
Something you said there that I want to go back to, you mentioned in describing this as temporary. Is that your feeling, that all of this is temporary?
I think so. You know, if you look at, like, the most recent energy estimates, for example, in the U.S., we've seen, you know, the amount of production has increased tremendously. So the amount of crude oil, for example, that's in storage ready to go to refineries is increasing tremendously. In fact, the most recent numbers we had, they doubled. They're double what estimates were expecting. But the issue is getting them through the refineries and then getting the finished product from the refineries out. You know, this will sort itself out, but it's going to take a little time. The same for, you know, natural gas, both here and then in Europe. You know, natural gas was put into storage all last year, but when the storage caves are filled, they're filled. And, you know, now we're getting a huge demand, but there is a lot of increased production as well. So after a little while, we will see this kind of mismatch kind of play out, and we'll get back to a more normal kind of situation.
You know, on top of all of the issues that we've been talking about here today with Brexit and some of these other parts of the Brexit deal, there's a report that a lot of British businesses that export to Europe are not complying with some of the specifics of the EU-UK trade deal. And on top of all of the problems that are out there right now, could eventually be facing disruptive enforcement actions. That would add insult to injury, wouldn't it?
It would. And that's kind of, this is, you know, as you say, this kind of rules of origin issue is symptomatic, I think, of the whole approach that we've seen, which was, you know, this massive push to get, you know, as Boris Johnson was saying, get Brexit done. So get an agreement. They sign an agreement, you know, becomes an international treaty that suddenly, you know, the law of unintended consequences. It seems like they didn't really think it through. And, you know, we talked about with labor shortages is one issue. There, you know, energy issues are another. And the rules of origin is another, where for since 1973, British companies didn't have to worry about this for, you know, intra-EU trade. Now they do, and they're just not prepared. And there was very little done, you know, prior to signing the agreement to help companies, particularly smaller companies, understand what they needed to do. And I think what we're going to see is that if the UK continues to make the Northern Ireland Protocol difficult, then the EU may retaliate by making sure that they stick to the letter of the law in terms of other aspects of the agreement. And, you know, they're legally entitled to do so. And I think they will. And this will be their way to, you know, try to calm things down a little bit.
If you're an international investor, do you just avoid all of this like the plague, or is there a way to navigate through it?
It's hard. You know, it's a very hard period of time because businesses like certainty. And even if they don't like the laws, they don't like the rules, they don't like the deal, if that is the deal and that's the deal that's going to continue for a period of time, they can adjust and they can make decisions accordingly. But right now, you have a situation, for example, in Northern Ireland, where the business side is quite happy with the changes the EU has offered to make. And it would make their lives considerably easier. And they're not worried about, you know, the jurisdiction of the European court. They're worried about moving their stuff either, you know, within the island of Ireland or from Ireland to, you know, the EU or to the UK. I think this is, you know, every time one side or the other says, by the way, we need to make this change, it just adds to the uncertainty. And, you know, when you think about it, like from 10,000 feet, you know, Northern Ireland should be a really interesting place for people to locate because they have access to the UK market and they have free access, free and unfettered access to the EU. It's the only place that has this. It should make it a really, you know, compelling place to locate a business. And yet it isn't because there's so much uncertainty about what's going on. So it is hard for people. I don't think you're going to see an enormous amount of inward investment into the UK, except in areas where it's not going to be, where basically the output is not geared towards export to the European Union. And we've seen that, like, some gigafactories that were announced. And Britain does seem to be looking to take in the kind of businesses that other parts of the EU won't take for environmental reasons. So this, you know, even though there was this kind of promise that there wouldn't be a race to the bottom, it does seem to be becoming a bit like a race to the bottom for the UK in particular.
David, great conversation as always. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one?
Well, they can either email me, which is, my email is david.feller@associatedbank.com. That's david.feller. Or you could call me, obviously, on the desk, and the number there is 866-524-8836.
David, we'll talk to you next time. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you, Steve.